What a church. Praise the Lord.
32. Let's stand for our final hymn this evening. And we'll sing the first, the third, and the fourth. Let's get the choir on the right page, and we'll be good to go. I think.
Onward, Christian soldier, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Into battle, see his banner go. Onward, Christian soldier, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Like a mighty army moves the church of God. Brothers, we are treading where the saints have trod. We are not divided, all one body we, one in hope and doctrine, one in charity. Amen. Onward, Christian soldier, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before the fore. Onward then, ye people, join our happy throng, lend your eyes, your voices, let the triumph song, glory loud and honor unto Christ the King. For who countless ages, men and brethren sing. Onward, Christian soldier, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus moving on before.
Amen. Please be seated, church. Good singing tonight. I'm so glad that we are Christian soldiers in the Lord's army. We're all, as Brother Golden said, we win. Yeah, we're in a battle, but we win. You know what? If that's the only thing you know, you're doing well. You're doing well because the battle is not yours. It's the Lord's. Praise the Lord. I'm really excited tonight, folks, because we're beginning a brand new book of the Bible. And, of course, that is the book of Jude tonight. And looks like we'll, Lord willing, cover the first two verses. There's just so much that the Holy Spirit is packed into this little book. It's like a mini revelation. And it's an incredible epistle. It's one of the seven, what we term, general epistles. It's to the body of Christ, you know, but no particular group. It's to all of us, but you're going to see exactly who it's to tonight. Glory to God. In Jude, the book is just one chapter containing 25 verses, 608 words, and every single word is inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? That's why we count the words in a book when we study a book of the Bible, because every word is important. Amen. And tonight, I want to give you a brief introduction before we get into the text of the book of Jude. Jude was written in AD 65, about 5 years prior to the destruction of Jerusalem. Some have called Jude the preface to the book of Revelation. The main content of the book deals with the religious and moral conditions that will prevail on planet Earth just prior to the second advent. And therefore, beloved, it is clearly speaking about our generation today. Amen? What am I saying? I'm saying, church, this book is for us. Never mind about the Christians that lived 2,000 years ago when Jude wrote. This book is for us today. The author is God. The human penman named Jude was one of the 12 apostles. Go with me to Luke chapter 6. We're laying a foundation. The human penman was named Jude, alias Judas or Judah. In Luke chapter 6, we find him. In Luke chapter 6, look with me at verse number 13. 6:13. And when it was day, he, Jesus, called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12. This is the 12 apostles, whom also he named apostles: Simon, whom he also named Peter, and Andrew his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called Zelotes, and Judas, that's Jude, the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, which also was the traitor. Now notice how the Holy Spirit is careful to distinguish Jude from Judas Iscariot. We never want to confuse these two men because they were complete opposites, as you'll see. Notice here that he was the brother of James. James, the apostle, was the first pastor of the church at Jerusalem. You remember that from the book of Acts we saw. And then in John chapter 14, let's see him again. John chapter 14. We're going to see some amazing things from the book of Jude, beloved. We're going to see the Nephilim. We're going to see the preaching of Enoch. He preached the second advent. We're going to see the great white throne judgment. We're going to see the angels that sinned. We're going to see incredible things in the book of Jude. But John chapter 14, we find the apostle Jude again in chapter 14 and verse number 21. Chapter 14 of John and verse 21 we read, He that hath my commandments, notice he didn't say Moses' commandments, very important, the words of the Bible. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Notice in verse 21 that fellowship and divine communion with the Lord hinges on our obedience. People don't like that. Judas saith unto him, this is, watch what he says. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot. So it's the other Jude, it's the good one. Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Jude calls Jesus his Lord. In verse 22, you see that? He was a true believer, and he believed in the lordship of Jesus Christ. Then in Acts chapter 1, flip ahead a few pages, you'll hit Acts. Acts chapter 1, we'll see him again. Guess where he's found? Right where he's supposed to be, where Jesus told him to go. Look at chapter 1, verse 12. Then returned they unto Jerusalem, the apostles. And from the mount called Olivet, they had just witnessed Jesus Christ ascend into heaven, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, where abode both Peter and James, and John, some were already there, and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. Notice here how he differentiates. He identifies this Judas as the brother of James. That's Jude. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Notice the last part of verse 14. Mary had other boys besides Jesus Christ from her husband, Joseph. Okay? And we're going to talk about that in a little bit. Now, Jude did not want to deflect any attention or credit away from the Lord Jesus. So he intentionally omits the fact that he was also the physical brother of the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know that? Because Jude's mother was Mary, the mother of Jesus. And his father was Joseph. Jude's father, that is, not Jesus. The husband of Mary was Jude's father. Go to Mark chapter 6. Flip back prior to Luke. You'll hit the book of Mark. And go to chapter 6. We'll see it again here. And look with me at verse 1. Mark chapter 6, verse 1. And he, Jesus, went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples follow him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? He's God. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and of Judah and Simon? Now, time out before we continue reading. Notice in verse 3 that Jesus is identified as a physical brother of Judah. That's Jude. You got three forms of his name in the Greek. Judah, Judas, and Jude. And are not his sisters here with us? Talking about Jesus having sisters. And they were offended at him. Now, folks, you got to understand something. The Catholic Church gets offended when we try to explain to them that Mary had other children.
Yeah.
By natural birth, procreation through Joseph, her husband. Because they claim she was, yeah, I know. Matthew, go back with me to Matthew chapter 13. We won't get into that. Matthew chapter 13, and look with me at verse 53. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence, and when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence had this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? And is not his mother called Mary? And his brethren, his brothers, James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas. Notice he had four brothers. Verse 56, and his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. See, many of Jesus' own house, his own brothers didn't believe he was the Messiah for quite a period of time. Of course, when he resurrected from the dead, they all became converted. Yeah. In fact, Jesus had four brothers from his mother Mary. So there was five boys that Mary had, including Jesus Christ. His message was one of apostasy from true biblical Christianity, which began in the first century A.D. and on down to its final consummation at the end of this dispensation. That's Jude's message. Beloved, today we are living right in the midst of the fulfillment of Jude's message. And therefore, Jude is of great importance for the Church of Jesus Christ today. Church, we are in the period of time just prior to the Lord's return, the second advent. And these are the days that Jude wrote of. We're going to see that as we go through the book. I see six things tonight, quickly, I'll give you and we'll be done, that demand our attention in the opening two verses. Look with me here in verse 1. We read, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Father in heaven, how we thank you for these verses tonight and our open introduction to the incredible epistle of Jude. How we thank you, Lord, for all of the spiritual nourishment and nutrition that we are going to receive in the weeks and couple of months ahead as we study through the book. We're thankful, Lord, that you feed us with good food, healthy food. It makes us spiritually healthy, and we're thankful for that, Lord. And help us to search our hearts, Lord, see if anything might be amiss, that we might be in a proper frame and attitude and position to receive the blessings of the book of Jude in the weeks upcoming, Lord. And help us to draw closer to thee, Lord, as a result of our studies herein. We'll thank you ahead of time for it, in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. First of all, tonight, folks, notice his title. verse 1. Jude, the what? Servant of Jesus Christ. Now, here is the greatest title that any human being can ever hold, to be a servant of Jesus Christ. Folks, I'm so glad that I learned many years ago that when God called me into the ministry, He called me to be a servant. He didn't call me to be some king on a throne, making demands of people and lording it over people. But like Peter in 1 Peter chapter 5 said, you are to be an example to the flock, the servant of God's people. And this is what we all are, folks. We all are servants to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And it's an incredible title, and it's very worthy of holding this title. Romans chapter 1. Hold your place in Jude. Quickly, Romans chapter 1. I'll show you a man who was a servant of Jesus Christ, a great one. Look with me in Romans chapter 1 at verse 1. Paul, a what?
Servant
of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated under the gospel of God. Paul says, yeah, I'm an apostle, but I'm a servant first. I'm a servant of Jesus Christ. I'm so glad. He said, ye were the servants of sin, Romans chapter 6, down around verse 13. But now are ye the servants of righteousness. Amen? We're the servants of Jesus Christ, folks. Go with me to James, just prior to 1 Peter. James chapter 1, just after Hebrews. Look at verse 1. James. Now, who is James? The brother of who?
Jesus.
Brother of Jesus, and so therefore brother of Jude, right? Look at, he has the same attitude as his brother concerning his brother Jesus. They didn't use their familial relation to lord it over people. You see that? James 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what he just did? He just made Jesus Christ equal to God the Father. That's what he just did. He said, I'm a servant to God and the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't serve God and some human being, right? You serve God alone. That Jesus Christ is God to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Now, go with me to 2 Peter. Flip forward to 2 Peter chapter 1. We see this over and over again. The apostles, notice who's saying this. So far, every one of these guys is an apostle, and they call themselves servants. 2 Peter 1, verse 1, says, Simon Peter, a what?
Servant
and an apostle of Jesus Christ. Peter says, just like James, just like Jude, just like Paul, I'm a servant of Jesus Christ. No greater honor can be bestowed upon a human being than to be his servant. Revelation. Go forward past Jude to the book of Revelation. Verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God the Father gave unto him to show unto his servants. To show to who? You know why we're studying the book of Revelation on Sunday nights? Because you are his servants. And he says he gave it to him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. Glory to God. He wants his servants to know what's coming to pass. Amen. Aren't you glad tonight, beloved, that you know what's coming down the pike for this world? Listen to me. 90-some-odd percent, probably about 97, 98% of this world does not have a clue what's coming upon planet Earth. But you do, because you are the servant of Jesus Christ. You have a privilege to know things that the world does not know. Secondly, tonight, observe his relation to James. Back to Jude. Jude, verse 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and brother of James. Why does he mention that he is the brother of James? I want to show you why. Look with me in Acts chapter 12. In Acts chapter 12, we have the first pastor at Jerusalem. His name? James. James. And he's the brother of Jesus Christ. And he's the brother of Jude. And he became the pastor at Jerusalem. Guess what? Somebody was watching him. Somebody was being discipled by James, his little brother. Look at Acts chapter 12. Look at verse 16. Verse 16, but Peter continued knocking, and when they, now Peter just got miraculously delivered from the Philippian jail. An angel came and let him out at night, and he comes to the house where they're praying for him to be released, and they don't believe it's him. Didn't you guys just pray for me to be released? Verse 16, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. God actually answered our prayer. But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, go, show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. He said, I want you to go tell James. Notice the first person he mentions to tell? The pastor. The pastor at Jerusalem. Why? Because the pastor would tell who? The whole church. He wanted all the beloved brethren to know the miracle that God performed for him to get him out of the prison. So he says, tell James and the brethren, and including Jude, and they will tell everybody else. Go with me to Acts 15. Acts 15. We'll see him again. Verse 13. And after they had held their peace, James answered and said, men and brethren, he's speaking to the Jews, hearken unto me. Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles. He's about to preach a barn burner to the Jews. He's going to rip them up one side and down the other for rejecting their Messiah. That's James, the man of God, the pastor of Jerusalem, the brother of Jude. Galatians. Go over to Galatians chapter 1. This book is going to be so good. Galatians chapter 1. Look at this. Look who Paul mentions here. Galatians 1:17. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, they were, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Yeah, he spent 3 years with Jesus in the desert, receiving his Bible college training like the other 12 apostles did. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter, and I abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the what? The Lord's brother. Paul is not ashamed here to mention that James was the physical brother of Jesus Christ. And we know that Jude was James' physical brother. So that tells us right there who he was. Thirdly tonight, notice to whom Jude writes back in the epistle of Jude. Remember, it's a general epistle. I'm going to show you who it's written to in a minute here. But notice to whom Jude writes. Chapter 1 of Jude, verse 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, what's the next word? To, that's who he's writing to. To them that are what?
Sanctified
by God the Father. Oh, beloved, I've got such good news for you tonight. You are sanctified. You say, Pastor, I don't feel like it. I said a bad word. I had a bad thought. Yeah, we all do. Don't feel bad. You are sanctified. Positionally, you are perfectly sanctified. Because you are positioned in the body of Christ, and the Holy Spirit is in you. He says, to them that are sanctified by who?
God.
God the Father. When God becomes your Father, he sanctifies you to himself. Let me show you this. The word used here in verse 1 for sanctified is hagiazo. It means to separate and dedicate unto God. So he's saying, to them that are separated and dedicated by God the Father. You see that? It's something he did for you. It's not something you do. It's something he does for you when you accept his Son. Now, it means to consecrate or devote for holy use. He has devoted you to holy use. It is to purify by expiation. That's atonement. To purify internally by renewing of the soul. Wow. That's what he's saying. He's saying you have been renewed internally by the renewing, regenerating of your soul. God the Father did that for you. I'm so glad. Now, fourthly, tonight, not only, we won't take time to look up verses on sanctification. You know there's tons of them. Observe, fourthly, our divine preservation. Verse 1 again, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ. I love this word. All those who are sanctified by God the Father are also preserved in Jesus Christ, positionally. Whatever the difficulties of life may be, However great the trial of our faith becomes, we are divinely preserved in Jesus Christ, folks. You cannot lose your salvation because of the one who is preserving you unto the heavenly kingdom. If it depended upon you to preserve yourself in sanctification and in a right standing before God and worthy of heaven, you wouldn't make it. Neither would I. But I'm so glad that, look what he says, them that are preserved in, notice the position, in Jesus Christ. Now, there's only two types of people in the world, folks. Those who are in the body of Christ and those who are outside of the realm of the church. See? You're either in or you're out. There's no neutral ground. But he says those who are in are preserved divinely. You ladies, some of you do canning. And you have these jars with these seals and they clamp down. When you put your apricots, peaches, whatever it might be in that jar, and you seal it, it's preserved from corruption, isn't it? That's like the body of Christ. We're put into the body of Christ and he clamps down and seals us in there. Sealed by what? The Holy Spirit. The sealing. That's the sealing. We're sealed by the Spirit of God in the body of Christ. How beautiful is this? 1 Thessalonians, flip back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Here's a great, great verse, folks. This'll nail it down, what he's saying for you right here. 1 Thessalonians, look with me at chapter 5. Chapter 5, look with me at verse 23. And the very God of peace, what's the next word? Sanctify you wholly. Now, time out before we continue reading. Who sanctifies me? Right. God, capital G. You're sanctified because God sanctifies you. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body, that's all of you, be what?
Preserved
blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul's prayer for the Thessalonian believers was that they would be preserved not just in spirit, not just in soul, but even in body. Amen? Because why? Because the body is for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. The Holy Spirit of God is inside our physical body, folks. He's in you. He's in you. You can't get away from that. It's over and over in the Bible that you have the Holy Spirit in you. Therefore, he wants your body also to be preserved in sanctification as well. And here is the forgotten doctrine of the church today. Sanctification concerning the physical realm. Christians want to do their own thing. If you got an itch, scratch it. If it feels good, do it. No, that's not the Bible way. We need to live. Now, I'm not saying you're going to live a sinless life. You can't. But I'm saying there's got to be some sanctification, folks. There's got to be some holiness in your life if you're a born-again believer because you have the Holy Spirit. We strive toward the mark of the prize of the high calling for sanctification, right? And the Holy Spirit sanctifies us. The Greek word for preserved in Jude verse 1 is tereo. It means to guard, to reserve, and to attend to or take care of. Oh, it's so good. Jesus is guarding me, defending me, and reserving me, and attending to me and taking care of me. That's what preserve means. Oh, glory to God. Fifthly tonight, we're almost done. Notice, fifthly, our calling. Jude, verse 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. And called. You have been called unto heavenly glory, folks. Here is a beautiful truth about our heavenly calling. I'm so glad. I love you guys. And I'm so glad you guys are here on a Wednesday night to study God's word with us. Why? Because you've been called. You've been called, not by pastor. You've been called by God. And you answered the call. You know, some people don't like to pick up the phone when someone calls them. Answer the call if God calls. And you have answered that call. Glory to God. It's a beautiful thing to be called by God. Now, when Jude says to the called, he is referring to all those who are effectually called to Jesus Christ Look with me in Romans chapter. Hold your place again in Jude. Go to Romans chapter 1. I want you to see, beloved, tonight, we're almost done, that you are the called of Jesus Christ because you have answered the call. Amen? Look at it. Romans chapter 1. Look with me at verse 5. Paul writes, by whom, Jesus Christ, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom ye are also the what?
Called
of Jesus Christ. Notice the calling is of Jesus Christ. Verse 7. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be what?
Saints.
You know what? The Pope thinks he can make dead people saints, and he's wrong. Only God can make a human being a saint. And every single child of God who receives Jesus Christ is made a saint by God. God grants sainthood, not the Pope. Look at verse 7. To all that be in Rome. I love it. The Holy Spirit's got a sense of humor. All that be where? In Rome! Look at it. Called to be saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father. Not the cardinal, not the bishop. And from the Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to God. I'm so glad we're called. And we've answered that call. Flip over to 1 Corinthians. Just after Romans chapter 1. Look at this. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 1, Paul called to be an apostle. Now, there's different callings, right? Of Jesus Christ through the will of God and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. I love the fact that God took the wretched life of Bob Oliver on October 3rd in 1986, and called me to be a saint. I love that so much, because I never would have been. If he didn't call me to become a saint, one of his children, I never, neither would you. Oh boy, I'm so glad he did. It means so much to me and to you to be called of God. Romans chapter 8. Flip back a few pages. You'll be in Romans chapter 8. And then we'll go to our final point. In Romans chapter 8, look with me at verse 30. Powerful verse. Verse 29. For whom he did foreknow. Now, what did he foreknow about you? That you would do what?
Jesus.
That you'd receive Jesus, right? Simple. That is not rocket science. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he, Jesus, might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Notice our glorification in heaven, our glorified body, is spoken of in verse 30 as if we've already got it. That's past tense. Them he also glorified. I'm not glorified yet, but in God's eyes I am. Isn't that good? Oh, I love it. God inhabits eternity, and he sees us as already with him in heaven, glorified forever. Amen. Now, look with me at 3 John. Not the third chapter of John, but 3 John. And that's just prior to Jude. And I mean just prior to Jude, verse 1. You'll find 3 John. Look with me at 3 John, before you look there, let's go to our final point. Observe his prayer for us. Jude, verse 2. This is Jude's prayer for you and me. Mercy unto you, and peace, and love be multiplied. This is Jude's prayer for the body of Christ. He prays for three things. Now listen, church. Every child of God needs these three things. Notice the progression. Mercy after they become saved, that is sanctified, that is preserved in Jesus Christ, that is called. Then we need mercy. Why? Why do we need mercy? We sin. We sin, right? I don't know about you, but But sometimes I have bad thoughts, and I got to cast them down in the name of Jesus Christ. I refuse to think about that evil thing. They just come into your mind, don't they? Amazing. But that's a sin, and we need mercy. We need mercy. Next, notice the progression. First, we receive God's mercy. Then we experience God's peace. Verse 2. See that? Mercy unto you and peace. The peace cannot precede the mercy. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. If they don't receive God's mercy, they'll never have God's peace. Thirdly, then, after we receive the mercy and we walk in God's peace, we then walk in God's love. Look at that. Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Now, in closing tonight, I want you to see something here. God does not work in addition. He works in multiplication. Because if you have one Christian, right, and that Christian goes out and wins another person to Jesus Christ, so you got two Christians. That's pretty good. And then that third person goes out and wins another. Then you got three Christians because they want someone. But if you got one Christian that wins someone to Jesus Christ, right? And then those two both go out and win a person to Jesus Christ. Then you got four. Then all four of those go out. It multiplies. It multiplies exponentially. That's God's way. Multiplication. So he says, mercy unto you and peace and love, not be added, but be multiplied. Oh, abundant source of it. Look at 3 John and verse 1. The elder, that's the apostle John. Why is he called the elder? Because he was the last surviving apostle. There are those who believed he lived a century. We know he lived at least 95 years because Revelation was written in the year 95 AD. But John, he was out there on the Isle of Patmos. He wasn't alone. He was with Jesus. And the elder, that's John, unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Notice the love. The love comes from knowing the truth, right? Gaius was a true believer, and Paul, John, loved him. Look in 2 John. 2 John, verse 1. The elder unto the elect lady and her children. That's the church. Whom I love in the truth. And not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. See that? John says, I'm not the only one that loves you. All they that have known the truth love you too. This is a beautiful truth about Christianity, folks. Radical Islam is a religion of hate. Yeah. It is a religion of death. But Christianity is a religion of love and life. Isn't that beautiful? I'm so glad I know the truth that I love people with the love of the Holy Spirit shed abroad through my heart. That is beautiful. Notice how he prays. He says, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Now, go with me to Acts chapter 6. In closing, I want to show you this multiplication process of God. It's a beautiful thing when you see it. Acts chapter 6. God works by multiplication. In Acts chapter 6, look at verse 1. In those days when the number of the disciples was what?
Multiplied.
The disciples were multiplying. There arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected. Go with me to verse 7. Verse 7. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied. They multiplied because the word of God was increasing. Amen? Go with me to chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. Look at verse 31. We saw the disciples multiplying. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified. And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were what?
Multiplied.
First we had disciples being multiplied. Now we have churches being multiplied, if you pick that up in the context there. He's talking about churches being multiplied. Now go with me to chapter 12. Something else gets multiplied in chapter 12. God works in multiplication tables. In chapter 12, look at verse 24. But the word of God grew and multiplied. It's multiplied. The word of God is multiplying. The disciples are multiplying. The churches are multiplying. I love it because we're in the multiplication business. Glory to God. All right, finally go to 1 Peter chapter 1. And then we'll have a prayer meeting tonight. 1 Peter. And look with me at chapter 1, verse 2. Elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Oh, I love it. Multiplied. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Through what? Here's a key. Through the knowledge of God. Look at it. And of Jesus our Lord. Through the knowledge of God, which we get here, as we meditate upon, I like what Val said, staying up till 3 a.m. in the morning with her nose buried in the Bible. God is communing with her. God is multiplying her peace and grace as a result of that. Why? It says right there in verse 2 that his grace and peace are multiplied through his knowledge of Jesus our Lord. Here it is. This holy book right here, King James Bible. We get it multiplied to us. Praise the Lord. Back to Jude. Let's finish up by reading our two verses tonight. Jude, verse 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Father in heaven, we want to thank you tonight for the book of Jude. And Lord, we have covered our introduction tonight. Next week, we'll be getting into the meat of the text and the problems that the Apostle Jude addressed in his book. Lord, the false teachers were already creeping in to the churches of Jesus Christ in 65 AD. Lord, it's amazing because there were still living apostles and you had only risen from the dead 35 years prior. Yet the wolves in sheep clothing were already after the flock. Wow, how much worse is it today? Lord, I look forward to the things we're going to glean from this book, because this book and the knowledge herein will arm us in these last days to stand strong in the truth of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we thank you. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, folks. Let's sing one before we have our prayer meeting tonight. Let's grab our hymnals and stand. And let's see here. Let's open up to hymn 332. One of the great classic hymns of the faith. 332, beloved. And we're going to sing first, third, and fourth of 332.
When they crucified my Lord, were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they laid him?
Thank you, Lord. Oh.
Sometimes it causes me to tremble. Were you there when they rose up from the
praise the Lord, people. Great singing tonight. Great fellowship. And we'll take some prayer requests at this time. One announcement. This Sunday, please be seated, folks. This Sunday evening, we'll be celebrating the Lord's table. That'll be a blessing. We look forward to that service this Sunday.